This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So if you've missed the news, Didact TV began yesterday. Didact TV is supposed to be educational television content and it's supposed to bridge this gap with so many students being at home and not quite being able to keep up with their Zoom lessons. And the thing is, some of their content has already gone viral. It's been getting mixed responses, lots of positives, but also a fair amount of negatives. The larger question, though, is, are we expecting a lot from our teachers in this? You know, it's something they're not trained for. It's a big deal to go on screen, to conduct lessons. So what kinds of support do teachers need to be able to do this and to do it well?
Yes. So just as a background, right, I feel partly as if we're moving very quickly here because we just said goodbye to NTV7 earlier this week. And then here we are just kind of talking about what Didact TV holds. But this is where we are. So it will be on air 7 a.m. till midnight daily. Not all of that is lessons. It does broadcast programs based on the MOE's curriculum and co-curriculum. So there's some exercise involved in there. And it will also include news on the world of education running from preschool to form six. And the Prime Minister has said that based on available data, about 95% of Malaysian households have a television set. I don't think we have the similar numbers to talk about laptops and tablets and the like, which is why TV has always been looked at as one of the possible solutions for this gap that we keep talking about, right? And I brought up NTV7 because this is actually going to be sitting on that channel. It is a special commercial agreement between the government and Media Prima.
So as I said earlier, the reactions to it so far, it's very, very new, have been mixed. Some of the good things that have been brought up, Zainuddin Ramilan, for instance, who's the president of a parent group, said that the long airing hours will actually allow parents to facilitate and monitor their children's education process. Meanwhile, Prof. Dr. Saida Siraj, who is a lecturer at University Pendidikan Sultan Idris, said that the chances, as you said, Lynn, of students not having a television are much smaller compared to tablets or laptops and so on. And most educators in general do agree with the implementation of Didact TV. And I just wanted to say that just speaking about the long airing hours, I was looking at some of the scheduling just for the later schedule, and it does seem to me like it's a nice mix of proper educational content like maths and language and so on and science, but also just fun education. I want to say soft education stuff, things like recycling or just, I think, even like a tele movie on being a teacher and so on. So it's an interesting concept.
Yes. So now we come to the less positive reactions, right? For instance, a video of a teacher giving a lesson on human reproduction was widely shared on social media, like WhatsApp and Twitter. And in fact, we also tweeted this video yesterday with a caption highlighting that it was Didact TV's first day on the airwaves. And that prompted a whole new round of conversation, and rightly so, I think, because the perception was that we were critiquing the teacher, and I understand how that came across. And in fact, if you look at the messages that were attached to a lot of these forwards, I think there was a huge conflation between addressing the teacher on sometimes unnecessarily personal attacks and talking about the syllabus, and especially because it was about reproduction. So I think, again, you add that to the layer of sexual education in our country, and then there's a whole other thing. But the point is that this really opens up teachers to criticism, right? Some of it will be fair, some of it will be unfair. The point is that when it's on screen and on video and shareable in this way, it will spiral. And I think that that's what we saw. And so because of that, it's important to look at this in the context of teachers and their jobs, right? Like, what is it that they're supposed to be able to do? And what have we added on? And have we provided anything in order for them to be able to do those additions well, efficiently, and to some sort of standard that none of us actually have an agreement on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think as recently as a year ago, most teachers would have realized that they might have to go on TV and deliver lessons. You know, just simple questions. Are they provide? What kind of support are they being given? Who's writing the script? How are the teachers selected? And, you know, the pandemic in general more widely has brought to light this need to improve remote learning facilities in terms of teaching through Zoom, handling 50 to 100 students remotely, delivering lessons, students who have varying levels of access to internet, to devices and so on. The thing is, I feel for teachers. I do think that we are expecting a lot from them. And as you said, putting themselves out there like this opens them up to a lot of criticism that they may not have signed up for. So we do want to know, you know, what type of support is necessary? You know, are we talking about that famous thing, reskilling, upskilling, whatever you want to call it? How do we help teachers deal with this time? It's difficult enough for us. They are going through a whole different bunch of challenges as well.
Yes. And so I don't know. I mean, we certainly don't have the answers, but I think for the time being, just worth highlighting again that this is a new initiative that reactions are more fraught than ever because of all those different layers, right? Because it's education, because it's been a year now since our kids were regularly in school. And I think that there is a desperation to get it right. But in so doing, what are we doing? You know, are we providing enough support? And for that matter, have you actually watched Didic TV? So I think that's the next thing. I'm curious to know whether anybody who is with a child of schooling age has actually watched with and engaged with Didic TV.
Yeah, you can let us know. Tell us also what you think our teachers need more of. Do they have enough support to manage all of these new roles and new skills that they need to be able to handle? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll be speaking to Chan Soon Seng, who is the CEO of Teach for Malaysia. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:15 and this is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're talking about the launch of Didic TV, which has attracted both positive and negative reactions. But more widely also, we're talking about the kinds of support that teachers need as they move on to doing what they do on all of these different platforms. So let us know, have you watched Didic TV? Do you think our teachers have enough support to take on these new roles? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now on Zoom is Chan Soon Seng, CEO of Teach for Malaysia. Soon Seng, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sharmila.
Let's start with Didic TV itself. What are your thoughts on this as a concept?
Yeah, I think conceptually, Didic TV is a really good platform with a lot of potential. And I think there are sort of like three things that I'd hone on. I think number one is that it just provides a lot more access to students. At Teach for Malaysia, our number one priority is ensure that all children in Malaysia have access to quality education. And the reality is that the estimates are that more than 1.5 million children in Malaysia don't have access to a device or connectivity. And this will just really help to bridge the gap in terms of those students that really just have zero access. I think the second thing to take note of, though, is that it's not a full replacement and it cannot be a full replacement of the entire schooling experience. It's definitely a stopgap measure for this point in time. And moving forward beyond the pandemic era, it can be an important supplementary measure, but it just can't replace the full learning experience that comes with school. A lot of learning is relational. A lot of learning is social. Dialogue, feedback is so important in the learning process. And that's some of the challenges that this platform will not be able to cross or bridge. And I think the final thing about the platform is that I think it's a really good opportunity for Malaysia as a society to have an ongoing and open conversation about what we want to see happen for education in Malaysia. I think we often have the memories of what school was like for us, but don't actually know what's going on in the classroom and have certain expectations and hopes for what we want our students and our children to be experiencing. And this opens up that door in a sense. And I think that if we can have a healthy ongoing dialogue about what we hope to see happen, and create just a constructive way in which feedback is being taken in by the public, this can really be a platform to enable that.
So I know I'm asking you this at a really early stage. It is super early, but what have the responses been to DidicTV from people who are working in education as well as parents and students?
Yeah. You're right, Lynn. It is really early, but I think that it's a huge range of responses from what we've heard. I think that that it is very early stages in terms of even the things that are being put on the platform. And I think that you hear a range of people complaining about the quality of things that are on there. But also at the same time, actually some of the quality of things that are on the platform are actually really quite good, and there are people that find it helpful and engaging. I think one of the biggest things or pieces of feedback from parents is and the platform will not be able to solve this really, is that it's not actually comprehensive enough. So it's not going to be able to meet the needs of every year or level of learning every day. And so that's one of the big pieces of reactions to it.
So based on what you know or perhaps have heard from others in the teaching community, what kind of engagement took place with teachers before they rolled out the content for DidicTV?
From what I understand, they probably had something like about a month to put this together. Obviously, TV Pendidikan has been going on since March last year in limited programming, and DidicTV has had in segments of the channel have been airing since last year. But to put on the full channel, they probably had a month to pull that together. So I think the engagements they did happen through like WhatsApp and Telegram and things like that, but not enough time to have comprehensive engagement around it.
Okay, so now we're coming to the central issue, right? Because in your opinion, are teachers adequately equipped, prepared, supported to be able to take on this role, which does require a different adjacent skill set from classroom teaching?
Yeah, I think that some of what we see on DidicTV that's done well is actually where they use TV hosts as a part of the shows, and I think you can really see a difference between when there's a TV host that is there facilitating some of what's happening on the show versus if it is just a teacher that's there. That being said, I've also seen some of the teachers on DidicTV that are really great, that are very engaging, that are just meant to be there on camera, right? But obviously, like you said, Lynn, that's not what teachers are trained necessarily to do, right? And so I think that it is obviously over time, I think that they're going to figure out how to select the right teachers to be on the platform, how to support teachers to be effective on TV, and also just continuing to use or to work with experienced talent like TV hosts is something that's going to be important to do. But so many teachers across the whole of last year have become YouTube stars, have become TikTok stars, and so I think that it's a matter of time before we just have enough teachers that are going to be able to do this effectively.
Now, speaking of it being very early days, yesterday a particular video started making rounds, and it spotlighted a teacher's pronunciation in English. I was wondering, is there a standard to adhere to or strive to when it comes to teaching in English, particularly when we consider the fact that there are actually different levels of proficiency around the country?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing to realize is that the video that was circulated was a science lesson and not an English lesson, right? And that's not an excuse to say that just because it's science, we shouldn't be speaking English at a certain level. But I think that the reality is that especially science teachers, they were not trained, especially many of the science teachers now were not trained to teach their subject in English. And the ones that, and some have gone through the flip-flop of PPSMI to MBM, MBI, and they did receive received some training, but it has not been consistent. So number one, we have to recognize that these teachers were not trained or have not recently been heavily supported to deliver the subject in English, although this was a DLP, a dual language program teacher. And so I think that's the first thing to recognize. But across Malaysia, a number of years ago, we introduced an alignment to the CEFR, the Common European Framework of References for Languages. And I think that that then allows us to see that is the set of standards that we are aligning to. And so what the ministry is going through is understanding teachers' levels according to the CEFR and going to be upskilling them according to that. And so I think it is important to hold a high bar of excellence around what we hope to see happen, but recognizing where we are at this point in time, and that we just need to grow into that.
So I think you touched on our next question in that answer, but a language gap for both teachers and students actually has long been an issue in education. And, you know, along with that upskilling, how else can we address this while also still continuing to churn out this volume of content that's needed to address this larger issue of providing education to our students?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things, and probably some of the benefits of the program, is that there, if you look at some of the English language content, there are some fantastic English teachers on the channel. And for what that's gonna, how that can potentially make a difference is that when you're in a student and you're a student that's limited to your school, you're limited to the teachers that you have there. So the quality of education that you get is going to be dependent on the quality of teacher that you have. And we know that that's quality of varies, and dependent on your school, dependent on how your teacher was trained, that varies. But now a potential positive thing is that all students are going to have access to teachers with a more uniform a standard of the language, and so that's something that may be helpful. The ministry is investing a lot in trying to improve proficiency, as I mentioned, with CEFR being put in place and everyone aligning to that and understanding how to teach that, but also develop their proficiency against that.
So getting back to the content of Didact TV, now it is based on the Education Ministry's curriculum as well as co-curriculum. What do you think are some gaps that need to be addressed when it comes to translating those things to television?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're able to have a dialogue around as a result of this attention on Didact TV is just really the kind of pedagogies like teaching methods, teaching practices, the kind of pedagogy that we prioritize and think is important as a society. And many of us who've gone through the public school system may have been exposed to a very teacher-centric style of teaching, where the teacher is sort of the source of knowledge, and as a student, you're a receptacle of that knowledge. And the Ministry of Education's efforts have really been to try and shift that towards a more student-centered approach, and to shift from a knowledge-based to a more skill-based approach, where you're not just teaching students what to think, but how to think for themselves. But that has been a very, very difficult journey. And if you look at a lot of the content programming on Didact TV, a lot of it is still very teacher-centered. And I think that what this allows us to think about is actually what do we want the pedagogy or the style of teaching to be like in our classrooms? And I think that one of the things that, which is hard to do on TV, but there are ways that you can do it more, is to figure out how to make the programming more interactive for students. So for example, I was watching an art lesson earlier. Simple things that you could do is, prior to that lesson starting, have a list of all the materials that a student watching at home might need, so that they can go prepare those materials while the introductions are being made. And then what they do really well on Didact TV is that they have students there and they engage with those students in the programming, but actually they can also engage directly with the students who are watching, even though they can't see them, and give them instructions and tell them what to do instead of only interacting within the studio. So figuring out how to make the content programming more interactive for the students, I think, is a key thing that can be looked into.
So we have a couple of minutes left with you. What sorts of support do teachers need right now from the ministry and from the public, especially considering everything they have on their plate?
Yeah. So, I mean, just zooming out to some of the challenges that teachers are facing broadly beyond the Didict TV perspective, I think that teachers are, if you imagine what it was like in the past as a teacher, you walk into a classroom and all of your students are there and you're able to talk to all of them at one time and give feedback and receive feedback from them at the same time. And now what teachers have had to do is that they have had to figure out how to tailor their teaching and their access to, with their students across all the varied levels that their students are at, right? Whether they have strong internet, whether they have zero internet, teachers have had to figure out how to do that. And also dependent on the platform that will engage their students the most, right? And so I think that teachers are really, really doing their best to figure out how to, many of them are doing their best to figure out how to meet the needs of their students, but it is a huge, huge struggle. And I think that we need to continue to resource teachers. A lot of teachers are going out there and spending a lot of money on their data connections, ensuring that they have the devices. I've seen teachers that build their own studios at home with green screens and lighting, but they're spending their own resources on that. And we can't expect every teacher to fund out of their personal salary all of this equipment. So we need to figure out how we resource our teachers better. I think that also that like I said earlier, I think Didict TV is a great opportunity for us to have a public dialogue about what we want to see happen in education. And I think that where we can, what needs to happen though is the way that we have that dialogue needs to happen in a way where it is progressive. It is about moving forward together. And so how do we recognize that, you know, there are challenges in quality. There are standards that we want to see, but that we all can also recognize at the same time that teachers are doing their best. They're trying really, really hard. And many of these teachers are huge champions for their students, right? And we can recognize all of those things together, and we don't have to isolate them from one another. And so how do we have that conversation in a way that moves things forward together? And I've seen things on Twitter like Adiba Noor volunteering to go on TV, right? And so community getting involved, right? These are ways that we can support teachers. And I think that really it's tough for parents as well, but parents supporting their students' education during this time is absolutely crucial as well. And so the more that everybody works together, I think that that's really how we're going to be able to move forward together more effectively.
Sun Seng, thanks again for speaking to us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That was Chan Sun Seng, CEO of Teach for Malaysia. We're now heading on to the 6:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.